It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Fade the Chalk Live. This is our Week 7 Trade Target episode. Adam and I are here to discuss players you need to be getting on and off your rosters. Adam, what's going on, man?
Basketball. Basketball's going on, dude. It's exciting. We had the NBA season start last night, and I'm doing basketball and football, so it's getting busy, but it's what I like, man. Talked about it a million times, but this is the best time to be a sports fan. I mean, you just get everything, and you get everything at FTN as well, so feeling good. I'm feeling good right now.
I'll admit, I ran some NBA DFS last night, and I will definitely tell you, I don't know what the hell I'm doing, but with the content over at FTNDaily.com, get signed up with the promo code FTC, save 10%. I checked out Fast Eddie Fear's rankings, I watched the live stream beforehand, and just kept my finger on the pulse of news and kind of lurked in the back of the Discord. Nobody knew I was there, but I was like, oh, that's an interesting tidbit. Ran a lineup at 3x last night. Not like I'm not smashing for thousands and thousands of dollars, but considering the amount I paid, and I know nothing about NBA, the amount of content over on our team for NBA is fantastic. It's super sharp. And if a fool like me can win money on NBA DFS, then anybody can with the amazing content we have coming out over there. I watched the live stream with Joe Metz. Kweisenberg was on yesterday. It was fantastic content, man. So absolutely agree. My bankroll agrees with you, Adam.
Yeah, I mean, like, we have, I don't want to get too off topic, but like, we have an 11 game slate tonight, and that's what you're going to get with NBA, right? And it's like, it's just a different vibe, right? Like, football, you go the whole week going through the process, you know, planning your flags and going through the stats and everything. But like, with NBA, it's like, okay, you had a 2-game slate last night as kind of the appetizer. Now you have the main entree with 11 games, and then it's a lot. And, Joe Kweisenberg and myself are going to be doing the FTN NBA podcast multiple times a week. Nice. It's not going to be like every night where we just talk about the DFS plays for the next game, or else we'd be, you know, it'd be like a million episodes. But, and plus we have content for that to help you with the plays and the values and everything. But we're going to talk about plenty of DFS on that pod, and it's just a fun time. Again, like, even if you're not a huge basketball fan, we still have hockey. Meanie's been crushing the hockey content. Ooh, and the season's been
him, what? And Eric, that I new know. Podcast they have, Danglebet Selly, is fantastic. You can find it on every single major podcast platform. It is awesome, man. I'm seeing green screens from both Eric and Meanie on the daily, baby, and you love to see it. You really do. Because Meanie's picks have been crushing, so has Eric's. I mean, you talked about it, dude. There's so many things going on right now. We got MLB postseason. So if you're running the Opto and using that and crushing MLB DFS, still, we got NBA's kicked off. NHL is here. We're talking NFL, man. I mean, you got all these sports popping off, man. It's a good time to be alive, my friend. Good time to be alive. Good time to be making trades. Dude, kick us off here, because a player that you are looking to get on your roster, because look, I'll tell you, I'll be honest, man, we do this episode every single week, and sometimes it is slim pickings, and sometimes I'm left like scratching my head about like, oh, after the week that we just had, who can you even trade away, and who can you trade for because of injuries, because of all these bye weeks? And you're like, I mean, I still got to fill out a starting roster too, but who's the guy you're getting on your team right now?
Yeah, it's a good point, because I feel like a lot of people are like in a spot where it's like, I can't make trades right now. Are you kidding me? Like, how am I supposed to make any sort of move given the state of the fantasy landscape right now? But I would try to go after Terry McLaurin. I don't know how many people are going to see him have a couple of down games and be like, oh, he's all of a sudden bad, because he's not. He's amazing. But I mean, just again, it's kind of in that same boat as we've seen with Stephon Diggs and Calvin Ridley. It's just immensely talented players getting massive, massive opportunity. And that's the case with Terry McLaurin, right? He's got a 28% target share right now, which is top six in the NFL. He has about 46% of Washington's air yards. That's the third highest rate in the NFL. Like, everything you want in terms of opportunity, market share, everything is in Terry McLaurin's favor. Again, like, yeah, Ricky Seals-Jones has been heavily involved, but like, this is a very concentrated passing offense. Curtis Samuel, I don't even know if he's going to play again this year. Like, his groin is seriously bothering him. Adam Humphries is just a guy. And then Antonio Gibson might not play. Like, he's banged up. And the schedule opens up. I mean, like, it should have been a good game last week, obviously, against Kansas City. But they have Green Bay this week, whose secondary is completely depleted. No Jair Alexander. I think Darnell Savage is hurt, too. And then they have, I believe, a bye. Then they have some good matchups against Dallas and Seattle. Like, they have some good matchups. Whether it's Heinicke or Fitzpatrick comes back, he's going to get all the first read targets. He's going to average anywhere between 8 to 12 targets a game, and 8 being the minimum. So, look, like, if you have running back depth or tight end depth, a lot of these teams out there, like, have two really good tight ends all of a sudden because teams have picked up Dalton Schultz or Mike Gesicki or Dawson Knox is out. But, like, you can package a couple players and maybe get Terry McLaurin from a team that's, you got two wins and they see McLaurin have back-to-back down games and are kind of worried about it. But I would definitely go try to get Terry McLaurin right now.
Oh, I don't disagree at all, man. I mean, and a lot of times if you're seeing this massive amount of volume, this hogging of the target share of all things that we care about, and the fantasy performances are not matching up, like, he's getting elite volume on a weekly basis. Those things regress. They come back around, you know, and the other part about this is he was banged up last week, you know, had the late week hamstring issue. We've seen like what happens to his production whenever he has played through injuries. It fell off a map. Now, yes, it was very different, soft tissue versus ankle sprains last year, but still it holds credence that.
Yeah, but hamstring injuries for receivers are scary. Like, they're not.
They are. But you just mentioned too that like they got what, the game this week and then they have a bye, right?
I think I can double check, but I know they have this game against Green Bay, which really isn't that bad of a matchup when you look at the landscape of the Packers defense. I'll double check right now. I believe they either have one more game after that and then a bye, or it's a bye after.
I mean, either way that you want to dice
it's one more game and a bye. One more game and a bye.
Okay, well then McLaurin, if he makes it through these two games healthy, then he has another game for the bye week to sit here and get right. You're talking about a guy that down the stretch run that you could be buying for pennies on the dollar, considering his production. Fitzpatrick comes back, this offense is looking better. Because Heinicke has not been playing good the last 2 weeks. That's definitive. Like, his yards per attempt have dropped off the map. He's barely completing over 55% of his passes. It's tough going, but you look at the amount of volume. I mean, Terry McLaurin was having spike weeks with freaking Dwayne Haskins at quarterback previously, with other trash can quarterbacks. Like, the dude is a straight baller, like, regardless of whatever metric you look at. And that type of volume is awesome. And that's what you want to attack. You want to go after volume, or you want to go after these buy low guys because the performances haven't been there, or they haven't matched whatever their volume they're getting, or their role in the offense. And that brings me to a guy here that I'm going to say I'm surprised I'm talking about right now.
I am too, but I was going to write him on the list as well. So it's, look, we talk about it, man. You have to be able and willing to change your views and adjust. And nothing's really happened yet, but I'm assuming you're getting to the point where something could happen for this player that's finally going to happen, hopefully.
His snap counts have risen in each of the last two, I think it's like 3 or 4 weeks in a row. A player that's been eating into his volume throughout the season. It is slowly kind of being, I'm not going to say maligned, but the team is turning back in the direction of this player. Considering the state of the running back position, you need to go out and buy low on Miles Sanders right now. Look at the matchups that he has coming up in the next 3 weeks, Adam. Oh, my Lord. He faces the Raiders this week, who are 27th in explosive run rate allowed. He gets Detroit the next week. And then he gets the Chargers, baby. We all know that all three of these run defenses are terrible. Miles Sanders doesn't need a ton or a hefty load of volume to sit here and get it done versus teams that are literally bottom five in metrics that I care about when looking at matchups for running backs. And it's not like he's been playing bad whenever he's gotten touches either. He's fifth in breakaway run rate. He's 11th in yards created per touch. The guy's still playing well. And you see these type of matchups that are upcoming for him, and the community's down on him as a whole because, I was in out in the streets talking about how good Miles Sanders was. It wasn't this season, but last season, and on the breakout, and it happening, and all these different things. And then it didn't happen. And this year, we've seen Kenny Gainwell being eating into his volume. We've seen him underperform in certain weeks. I'm not telling you that the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line is magically all healed and they're fantastic and it's transformative. But Miles Sanders, if you look at a lot of different metrics, dude is still playing quietly well. He could break off long runs. The matchups are divine right now over his next 3 to 4 weeks. And for a player that, considering the state of the running back position, my friend, who's walking into 12 to maybe he sniffs like 20 touches in these upcoming matchups, this is a fantastic time. You should already be crafting offers right now while you're listening or watching me to get Miles Sanders on your team.
Yeah, I do agree. The snaps have been separating between Sanders and Kenneth Gainwell each of the last couple weeks. And yeah, like, we didn't expect the Eagles to establish the run against Tampa Bay last week. And I think Miles Sanders had one first half carry, not too surprising. But then, like, in the second half, they started to go to him a little bit, even against that run defense on some draw plays, and he was ripping off 12, 15-yard runs. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, the Eagles' offensive line, once again, has been kind of a revolving unit. It's just so many different combinations. But Lane Johnson's back with the team, and they're actually, if you look at our advanced offensive line numbers on FTN Fantasy, they lead the NFL in yards before contact per attempt, and Miles Sanders himself is averaging 3.4 yards before contact per attempt, which among running backs is third in the NFL behind Chase Edmonds and Tony Pollard. So, like, ooh, they're creating running lanes for him, and we know talent and breakaway ability has never been an issue for Miles Sanders. He made a ton of his production off ripping off long runs last year. So, like, he still has that in his range of outcomes. The routes and snaps are where we want them to be opposed to a couple weeks ago. And, yeah, the schedule is awesome, like you said. So, yeah, again, especially, I mean, Nick Chubb's out. Kareem Hunt's out. McCaffrey's on IR. Barkley's still not practicing. Like, we need running backs. And Sanders, and then I think Shane Steichen came out today or yesterday and said they need to get Miles Sanders going more, which, again, I'll take it with a grain of salt, but it's good that they're actually acknowledging it. You know, in the past, it was not even acknowledging it. And, like, the Eagles fans on that Thursday night game, went, like, on Miles Sanders, I think it was, like, a second carry of the game. He got, like, 6-7 yards or whatever. It was a modest game. But they started, like, sarcastically but cheering, like, because they finally got the ball. So I mean, schedule's gonna open up, and Miles Sanders, we've seen not play a lot in 2-minute drills and third downs, but if their schedule's opening up and the Eagles are competing in these games or potentially leading, that's gonna do well for Miles Sanders. Plus, the offensive line looks to be getting more intact, so I'm with you.
I mean, you look at the matchups and you look at it, and the other thing about the Eagles is their pace of play is fantastic, so a lot of play volume that's going to help his weekly touch share as far as from a floor and a ceiling projection as far as how many plays that the Eagles are running on a weekly basis, man. So I think that considering his upside, considering all these things we've discussed here, you got to go ahead over to whatever team in your league has Miles Sanders probably languishing on the bench. Maybe they slot him into the flex or the starting lineup considering we're talking about with bye weeks. But if you could sit here and float Miles Sanders, or at least an offer for Miles Sanders. And, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to craft this, Adam. Like, you know, if somebody has one of these injured running backs on their bench as well, do you have their handcuff? Do you team them with a wide receiver 3 type and say, look, you know, we're all facing problems. I've got some extra wide receiver depth. Here's the handcuff for your guy. You're covered there regardless, because Miles Sanders is not drafted as an RB1 on any team, probably. So, at this point, is he still in the RB2 spot? Is he in a flex spot? Depending on the construction of that team and where they sit right now, there are some ways you can get interesting with offers and possibly get Miles Sanders, or get somebody to let go of him that's not looking at his upcoming matchups and the ceiling that presents, man. So, I think there's a lot of different ways you can kind of attack this right now. And look, at this point of the season, we're walking into week 7. You're 2-5, or you're 2-4. You've only won one game. Hell, you've won none. If you still, and if you're listening to this, you're still interested, you're still bought in, do not delete the app. Do not go away from your team. Get that buy-in back. Your team might be dust in that league on the rest of the season, but not on a weekly basis. And this is where Top Prop Sports comes in, man. Download the app, head over there today, get signed up with the promo code FTN. You can create head-to-head contests with all the rest of your league mates. Import your league. And basically, this is a fantastic avenue for you to attack getting those buy-ins back on teams that are dusted, dead otherwise, when the matchups present or you see another team with, oh, they got four or five people on bye. Let me see if I can talk them into, because they're standing at, they've only lost one game. And I consider and sucker them in to facing me on Top Prop and take that money back away, man. So head over to topropsports.com, get signed up with the promo code FTN, tackle it today, get those buy-ins back. Adam, before we kind of flip this over to players that we're trading away, I want to bring this up because I'm on FTNFantasy.com right now. I'm kind of scrolling through Meanie's article for trade targets. And you love to see it. First player on the buy low candidates, Miles Sanders, baby. You love it. You absolutely do. But I want to get your thoughts on, because Meanie, man, there is like 20 to 30 players in this article every single week. And he covers it from Dynasty on players you need to be putting out feelers for, players you need to hold. Don't sell them. The one thing that I want to sit and run through with you, man, is we always talk about this. And it's interesting because you want to sit here and feel out your league mates. You want to understand, like, at least the temperature of the water before you go sending some of these trade offers. So these most traded players on CBS Sports right now, let's hit these fast, roll through these players and see where you stand on these, man. Chuba Hubbard, trading for or away?
That's tough because, like, again, IR, so McCaffrey will miss a couple weeks, but, like, would we, like, the Carolinas come back down to earth? What are they, 3-3? So, like, they're still clearly in it. But, like, did McCaffrey have a setback or not? Because they said he didn't, but why is he on IR then? Chuba's, remember in the first game McCaffrey was out? Was it against Dallas? Was whatever his first start was.
Yeah, it was Dallas.
His usage was kind of, like, he got all the carries, but, like,
Roddy Smith ate up all the passing work, man.
And then Roddy Smith was sent to the practice squad, and then the last couple games, Chuba Hubbard's been getting a ton of receptions. And then Matt Rhule comes out and says that they want to establish the run more, and that's all Chuba Hubbard. I mean, Royce Freeman will get, you know, four carries a game or whatever, but it's tough because, like, this is really tough because it really depends on your roster, obviously. Like, if you have McCaffrey,
I think it depends on how much you're going to have to give up to get him, too.
Right, like, because right as it stands in this moment, he is viewed as a top 15 running back.
He should be, though. Like, he
should be. That's what I'm saying. Like, he absolutely should be. So it's like not going to be able to give up two bench players for Chuba as opposed if he was, like, just the handcuff, you know, and McCaffrey's healthy, because that's not the case. And is it a lock McCaffrey's back?
No.
I don't think it's a lock. I think he will be back, probably, but, like, it's
tricky.
If
you can go get him, I say you go get him. Like, if that is a possibility. Now,
especially if you somehow have McCaffrey on your team and don't have Chuba, again, you're if you have McCaffrey on your team, it's one less player you're going to be able to trade. But, like, it's very tough.
I mean, here's the other side of this conversation. If Carolina really wants to go more run heavy, if that happens for the entirety of the rest of the season, CMC has been banged up. Do we see Chuba retain a role for the rest of the season? Does this become a split backfield? Does this become a situation where it's 60-40 and Chuba Hubbard retains flex value for you? Considering how many times we've seen McCaffrey banged up over the last two seasons,
and during that
span, can't rule it out.
Yeah, and during that span, it's not like he's been getting 60% snaps, and, like, he's been a 95% snap player getting 30 touches a game. So maybe they're at a point now where it's like, all right, he's the best running back in the NFL, maybe outside of Derrick Henry. We understand what he can do, how valuable he is, but, like, we're 3-3. We're trying to compete for the NFC playoffs. We're going to need this guy healthy, and I wonder if it's a point. And yeah, McCaffrey, it's not going to be 50-50, probably not even 60-40, but, like, maybe McCaffrey's getting, maybe it's 70-30 as opposed to 90-10 that it's been since he's entered the NFL. And I think Chuba's played well enough. Like, he hasn't played bad at all.
No, he hasn't played bad at all. And the thing about it, and I was talking about this in our DFS Discord prior to last week, And I was like, nobody wants to play Chuba Hubbard. Nobody cares about the fact of, like, I think it went massively under the radar last week that Chuba Hubbard the previous week had 29 touches, Adam. 29 touches. And considering what he did with those opportunities and the team saying we need to get him the ball more, and this is before McCaffrey even comes back, he does have the ability, I think, to carve out a 40% snap share, or at least of the work, in this backfield and retain flex value. And before even McCaffrey comes back, he's going to be a top 15 running back. Hell, you can make a pretty good conversation or argument that he's an RB1 until McCaffrey comes back, because he's getting all the work. Royce Freeman is not a thing in this backfield. Rodney Smith has been regulated to nothing. Chuba Hubbard's running the routes. He's getting the touches. And if you have the ability to go trade for him, I absolutely would. And this is not just a McCaffrey's out type of move. I think this offers you something like he retains some type of value even after McCaffrey comes back. Moving over to this next player, Allen Robinson, trading four away. I would not be trading for Allen Robinson right now.
You can't do anything with Allen Robinson.
No.
Nobody's trading for him. And I wouldn't trade for him. Like, it's Darnell Mooney. We talked about this yesterday. Darnell Mooney has led this team in targets when Justin Fields been under center. Darnell Mooney, I was looking at some of the numbers, some of the stats, because I'm preparing for the DFS podcast, which, by the way, will be recorded Thursday night with John Daigle from NBC Sports Edge. He'll be stopping by the pod again to talk week 7 DFS. But Darnell Mooney's first read target share, he's getting a ton of first read targets, way more than Allen Robinson. So between that, it's a bad offense still. It's a very run first offense still. I'm at the point now where they face a banged up, bad Tampa Bay secondary this week, and they're not going to be able to run the football, and they're going to be trailing. If Robinson finally pops off this game, I would trade him away.
We talk about the assumption of rational coaching, Adam. If there's any dumbass in the league that's going to run the ball against Tampa Bay, can we not say that it's either Bill Lazor or Matt Nagy?
It's a good point.
Like, legit. Just hand it to Khalil Herbert, banging in the line for 20-plus carries, baby. 1.5 yards per carry. Woo! Let's go! It's terrible, man. No, you can't be trading for Allen Robinson. I would not even be trading for Darnell
Mooney. I want
Mooney.
To say, like, yes, because Allen Robinson's amazing. And
they're handcuffing this offense.
Did you see him run free for a 50-yard touchdown last week?
Yeah,
Fields didn't see him.
No, didn't see him. Didn't see him. And it sucks, man, because to me, inject some volume into this offense. Please, please let Fields run. If we can see it, why can't you see it? I don't get it, man. Like, I understand that there's a lot of it, like, okay, Justin Fields is still working through being a rookie and going through progressions and all these different things and stuff. What they're doing with this offense, and, I mean, people keep going back there in DFS, and I keep saying, I don't understand why you're doing that, and people keep doing it. They don't want to throw the ball. They don't. Maybe that happens this week, but good Lord, that's a leap of faith.
Dude.
And even if they throw the ball, they've been literally throwing the ball on like 30% in the 30s of their neutral script plays.
Well, here's the other thing.
That's abysmal, dude.
I just looked at the numbers again. Darnell Mooney has 35 first read targets this year per FTN. How many do you think Allen Robinson has? And obviously I'm alluding to the fact that the number is less, but
24.
Wow, that was an awesome guess. 26. Like, Darnell Mooney has been, and, like, again, who is higher on Mooney than me in the offseason? Probably not many people.
Nobody.
But I didn't think it'd be because he would be targeted more than Allen Robinson. Like,
yeah, man. I didn't either. And I don't, it's been really interesting, and it's been a quandary every week. It's like, do you play the name value for Allen Robinson, or do you go with the production or greater production than, like, Darnell Mooney? Like, Darnell Mooney's production has been better.
It's hard to get to that point, right? Robinson was a top three pick in fantasy drafts. He's been one of the best receivers in football the last 5 years. But, like, and it's not just this week. Like, you should have been starting players like Jalen Waddle over him. And I don't have a list of receivers in front of me, but, like,
Put it this way, it's really difficult to even rank Allen Robinson inside the top 36 wide receivers on a weekly basis. If you're doing that on a lot of different cases, you're doing it based off of name value and not the production.
And talent.
It's sad. Yeah, I mean, it's sad to say.
Like,
it's
watching
true,
him,
man.
It's not like he's lost talent. It's just the...
No!
Yeah.
They're just not throwing him the damn ball. And it sucks, man. I think we got a both resounding yes on this one. Calvin Ridley, trade four, right?
Right. I'm in the process of trying to in multiple leagues. Yep. So, yes.
If you can get him, trade for him. We already talked about Miles Sanders. Robert Woods, trade for or trade away. I would not be touching Robert Woods. I think that Seattle game, it was totally an apparition. Like, it was basically trying to get the guy right.
And it was so obvious,
too,
because, like, Sean McVay, the last time he said that, it was DeSean Jackson, and he went off. And then he says it that they got to get Robert Woods involved. And you knew it was happening the first play. The very first play from scrimmage, it was a design screen for Robert Woods. And then this past week, he scored a touchdown, but he had, what, two catches on, like, four or five targets? Like, I'm not, like, actively, like, stopping what I'm doing to trade Robert Woods off my team. But again, like you said, I'm not actively going after him either. Especially, we talk about the schedule for Daryl Henderson, how good it is. They're going to blow a lot of these teams out, man. Like, and if that's the case, Robert Woods is going to be 5-6 targets, and like Van Jefferson is still involved, and DeSean Jackson gets his 2-3 deep targets.
It's the Cooper Kupp show. That's all it is. It's the Cooper Kupp show on
again,
a weekly basis.
I've done it before on this pod, but I'll take the L on Robert Woods over Cooper Kupp, and just Cooper Kupp is like... I don't even know if you would trade, like, you...
You don't get rid of... Cooper Kupp is getting the same exact volume as Devontae Adams.
I would trade Cooper Kupp for Adams still, but that's probably the only receiver I would trade Cooper Kupp for. Now. Yep. You're not trading Cooper Kupp for anybody else, I don't think. Like,
straight
why would
baller,
you?
Man. You love to see it. You
would
absolutely
you trade Cooper
love
Kupp,
to see it.
Would you trade Cooper Kupp for Marvin Jones straight up?
Nah!
But in all seriousness, he's been, like, unbelievable this year. Not even just, like, he's been incredible his entire career, but, like, Stafford has clearly unlocked this offense. And, as somebody who was facing Stafford and Kupp in a league last week, not fun. Not a fun sweat like, when they get going.
I mean, all I can say is if you're facing Stafford and Kupp in a league, you can check off one thing that you have less to do on Sunday and Monday, and
that's not
check
true.
That lineup.
I won.
Oh, you did!
I faced Stafford. The final score was like 173 to 171. He had Stafford, Kupp, and Derrick Henry. So, yeah. But I had CeeDee Lamb.
I was like, dear God, how did you win that?
I had CeeDee Lamb. I had Daryl Henderson. I had JT. And I had Kyler Murray.
Well, there you go. I mean... Studs came out. They shine. They shine brightly, my friend.
Yeah, and imagine if Jonathan Taylor got 20 touches in that game instead of 15.
Oh, he'd have broke everything. He'd have run for 200-something yards, man. That's definitely...
We even talked about him. Like, you wouldn't be, like, trading him after a couple huge games because
hell
the volume
no.
has been great, right? Okay, I'm just
hell
making sure.
Hell no.
Can I just trade Marlon Mack already? Because, like, not only does Marlon Mack get, like, 5 to 7 touches a game, he gets, like, drives at a time, right? It's not like he comes in for two plays. He gets, like... 6-7 plays in a row, and I'm like, what the hell are we doing here? Like, it's great for Marlon Mack that he's come back from the Achilles, and that's awesome, but, like, Jonathan Taylor is a superstar, like, an absolute superstar. And again, I was kind of, I said in the offseason that he wasn't a first-round pick. Looks like I'm taking the L on that as well, but a lot of that also has to do with a lot of the running back injuries, right?
I mean, everybody else has failed, dude. It's basically been out of the first round. It's been...
Like, Taylor's been good, but... McCaffrey's hurt. Barkley's hurt.
I mean, everybody except for Derrick Henry is hurt, basically. Like, everybody we were talking about in the first round, like, has either underperformed or hurt or what have you.
Gibson's been bad and hurt.
It's been bad, dude. It's been really, really bad this year for running backs. And I know we see injuries every single year, but, I mean, the first two rounds of fantasy drafts right now are largely, it's a wasteland. It's an absolute wasteland, dude. Last few guys, we got to get up in here, and then we'll talk about some players to trade away. Cordarrelle Patterson. I know we talked about him weeks ago about as a guy to trade away. You can't probably get him now. I mean, that's probably a fact. You're not going to get him now, and I'll go back and I'll take the L on that. I was wrong. Cordarrelle Patterson's getting high value touches. He's walking into 12 to maybe 15 touches on a weekly basis. Mike Davis is really a tertiary thing in this offense. Cordarrelle Patterson's playing really damn well, man. And
let me ask you something.
If you traded him away, I'm sorry. I absolutely adamantly apologize right now.
Other than the fact that the Lions don't have a wide receiver anywhere close to the caliber of Calvin Ridley, what's the difference between Cordarrelle Patterson and DeAndre Swift right now?
Nothing at all.
And again, I was with you. I thought, because it was that 3-touchdown game against Washington.
He was getting 30% of the snaps, dude.
And he ran 12 routes.
Like 7 routes, 8 routes, 12 routes.
Literally,
like,
that 3-touchdown game, he literally ran 12 routes. So I'm like, yeah, why would you not try to trade
him? He had not played more than 35% of the snaps in any game. And we're like, it's not going to happen. He's going to come crashing back to Earth. And I mean, if you held on to him, kudos. If you traded for him, kudos. You're not getting him now. It is what it is. So, I mean, no, you're probably not going to even take the time to sit here and craft offers because you're not going to get Cordarrelle Patterson.
And a huge reason you're not getting him is because the teams that picked up Cordarrelle Patterson probably had lost a running back. So it's like the Barkley teams and
the
McCaffrey teams.
Or they blew the fab clip. They blew they invested heavily and they're like, and it's no, you ain't getting him.
And it's like those running backs, Barkley and McCaffrey, they're not coming back yet. So they're like, why would I trade this guy? Because I'm short a running back and he's been producing. And he does fit the offense well because they're not throwing the ball deep down the field. Their offensive line's bad. Matt Ryan's checking it down. And outside of Ridley and Pitts, Russell Gage is hurt. They don't have any other receivers. So it's like, and he's always been an incredibly talented football player, but surprise, surprise, instead of running him between the tackles like the Chicago Bears did, speaking of the Bears, use him in space, use him as a receiver, and all of a sudden he's producing. Shocker.
Yeah, crazy. I know, right? Last two guys want to get up in here. Zach Moss, trading for or away. I would not be trading for Zach Moss. I understand the reasons to trade for Zach Moss. Devin Singletary is still part of this backfield, and he played really well last week when they gave him the ball. I don't think this backfield, and yes, I understand Moss is getting more of the red zone looks, and that is definitively true. This backfield is still not as settled as people think it is, I don't believe.
Like, why would you trade for a player that you are going to have questions about starting at your flex every week? Because you know every week there's Zach Moss in my flex or this player. Like, he's always in that range.
So he's not an RB2. That's the thing. No. He's not an RB2. Josh Allen could still vulture him. Like, these things are real, and I understand the red zone usage he's getting and stuff, but this backfield is still more of a free-flowing entity than people want to give it credit for because Devin Singletary is not dust. You look at all the advanced metrics, explosive run rates, all that kind of stuff. He's playing out of his mind. They're just not giving him the volume. Did he put the ball on the turf? Is that why you think it shifted some?
Right. Like he fumbled a handful of times, didn't lose any of them. They just went out of bounds or whatever. And then it was the Houston game where they were obviously dominating that game. Singletary fumbled again, and then he didn't play the rest of the game. Now, some Buffalo beat reporters thought that was because the fumbles and Zach Moss getting more opportunities, or it was just, you know, they were up by 35. And then we started to see Moss's snaps go up, especially in that Chiefs game as well. But yeah, I mean, it'll happen some weeks, you know, Singletary will struggle or put the ball on the ground and Moss will play. It's like any other backfield, you know, and Moss, if you have him on your team, like, yeah, he's a fine player to have on your team. You can flex him a handful of times. He's fine. But like, I wouldn't go out and trade for somebody that you're going to have to question starting each week. Doesn't make any sense.
No, because the weeks you don't start him, then he goes off. It's a quandary, man. It's not something I would want to be inheriting.
And here's the thing about
roster.
Zach Moss. He's run well this year. I think he's as much as I love Singletary, Zach Moss is good too. But he's got two rushing touchdowns that were because of Allen getting ruled down at the one twice when he was really in the end zone. So if he doesn't get those touchdowns, and a lot of them also have come in garbage time. You know, we're looking at him a little bit differently. I will say, though, after the bye, Buffalo just gets a cake schedule. They get Miami, Jacksonville. Like, they're going to just dismantle teams. So Moss could get, like, 15 carries. And when they've been up in games, they've been like, we'll just give the ball to Zach Moss. We're not going to have Josh Allen take hits and inside the five. So there is that. There's going to be games where you're going to feel comfortable starting Zach Moss, but I wouldn't trade for him.
Yeah, for me, there's no way I could be trading for Zach Moss. I don't believe that the red zone usage is going to be consistent enough week to week, much less, like, the Bills do some weird things in the red zone, dude. Like, they'll give touch passes to tight ends. They'll give touch passes to
Dawson Knox had a rushing touchdown call back last week.
Yep. They'll do all kinds of weird trick plays and stuff in the red zone. It's just not a situation. Like, I still don't want anything to do to this backfield. I'm surely not going to give up assets to try to get Zach Moss.
Here's one real quick. Instead of trading for Zach Moss, I understand right now he has a better role, but you could probably give up very little. I'm kind of intrigued by A.J. Dillon, man. He's getting like 12 touches a game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to trade for somebody that you can kind of flex, and then if Aaron Jones misses time, you're not going to find seven running backs better than A.J. Dillon.
Yeah.
But, like, they clearly, he's getting slightly more touches than Jamal Williams got in his role, and A.J. Dillon's probably a better player than Jamal Williams. I know I love Jamal Williams, but I'm really intrigued by A.J. Dillon. I'm starting him in a couple leagues. Again, six teams on a bye, but, like, he's been awesome for them.
He's been good, man, and I think it's the same kind of correlation. Like, it's a backfield committee, and it's a guy that's going to get 10 to 12 touches, but people have always been or still enamored with Zach Moss. You're going to have to give up way more in a trade to go get Zach Moss versus even if you wanted to get A.J. Dillon to fill a bye week right now. So I don't hate that at all, man. So I'm going to kick us off here on a player to trade away. And before I mention his name, I'm going to sit here and go ahead and take the L. You and I talked about this player before we turned the mics on a few weeks ago, and you were like, man, I don't know. And I was like, it's going to be fine. And I've reached the point of critical mass where I don't know if it's going to be fine. And I'm going to read this off to you, Adam.
By the way, I actually don't know who this is, so this is fun.
And tell me if you want this player on your team, just considering the numbers. Not the name value. He is 39th in target share.
20.5%.
He's 35th in receptions. He is 43rd in yards per route run. The only thing buoying his fantasy production is the fact that he is second in receiving touchdowns. And that has posted him up as the wide receiver 13.
But so revenge. I'm telling you. Revenge.
Telling you, out of all of these metrics that we care about for volume and productivity, this man is outside the top 35 wide receivers right now. So you tell me, would you be trading for or away DeAndre Hopkins?
I've been on the train of trading him away, not just for nothing, obviously, because he's still an immensely talented player, but I've talked about this for weeks. I talk about this every single week on the solo pod, too. I mean, he had four targets last game. Like, A.J. Green, I talked about him on the waiver
episode.
He got
two touchdowns. That's why you need to sell high right now. Like, you need to get rid of him.
I've brought up many players, like, and I did this on Monday on the pod. I would trade Hopkins for Justin Jefferson. I would trade Hopkins for D.J. Moore. I would trade Hopkins for
Calvin Ridley?
Yeah, easily. And, like, people will think that's crazy, but, like, this isn't the same offense. I mean, A.J. Green's going to
take the name value out of it. Take his name off the top of it. If you take his name away from all of these metrics I just told you, he's literally outside the top 35 in target share, receptions, and yards per route run. The only thing holding him up is receiving touchdowns. Could that continue? Sure, fine.
And it's not even like he's getting every single end zone target. Like, A.J. Green has one more target inside the 10 than DeAndre Hopkins this year. And again, like,
oh, and by the way, they just traded for Zach Ertz,
right? And
he's
going to
command more
too.
Targets than freaking Max Williams.
Exactly. Max Williams had like 3.5 targets per game, but Zach Ertz is going to get more targets because he's going to get open faster and he's going to run shorter routes, and that's going to hurt DeAndre Hopkins. So it's like
the 20% target share could be dropping into like the 15.
Hopkins last year
range.
Was like, okay, you pencil him in for 10 to 13 targets every single game, and he's going to smash. Now you're like, I hope he gets to 8. I hope. And that's just facts.
Please get to 7. Please get to 7.
So for me, like, I would. The only thing is, like, maybe trade him after this week, because you know they're going to try to.
I know. You keep going with the revenge narrative. Do you think that.
They're
going
to try to get him a touchdown. I'm like half kidding. I still would like to trade him away. Like, I would trade Hopkins for. Like, I want. You could trade, like, Hopkins and maybe get like Terry McLaurin in a piece, you know. Yeah. I don't hate that.
It's doable.
And it's not Hopkins is still arguably the best. Well, okay, he's not better than Adams. I don't care what anybody says, but like, he's a top 5 receiver in the NFL still. It's just Kyler Murray spreading the ball around so much. AJ Green's getting 6 targets a game. He literally has 6 in every game but
that's
one.
The thing. Christian they don't
Kirk
have
is getting
to.
Yeah, Christian Kirk's getting 5 targets a game. Rondo Moore and Chase Edmonds are both getting like 10 combined targets a game. And now you have Zach Ertz. It's just like you don't feel bad about Hopkins in your team, but you don't feel as good as you did the past couple years, like at all.
You don't feel bad about it, but the thing about it is, and that we talked about, and yes, this player walked into a massive volume week right after I said to trade him away, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago that I said this. But Adam Thielen,
but it was
I mean,
nine.
It's similar correlations between him and Adam Thielen's usage and what you're looking at. Hell, you could even say Adam Thielen has a higher weekly floor than DeAndre Hopkins right now because his target.
I mean, it's more concentrated offense in Minnesota, so.
Yeah, I mean, I love DeAndre Hopkins, but DeAndre Hopkins is not, like, at this stage of his career, he's not a guy that, like, you can give him 5 to 7 targets. He's going to break a long one. Really, it's red zone role. Hopkins has always been a volume receiver. It's legit. He's going to get one massive crap ton of volume, and it's going to help him out. He's not a guy that where you're looking at, he's going to break a 50 or 60 yarder down the field, and he can live off of efficiency, big plays, and that's just not it, man. That's not, he's not running the routes to do that. That's not really the player that he is. So if you can get rid of him and sell off a name value and go get one of these wide receivers that has not popped off yet, that's still elite volume, do it.
Would you, and Diggs and Ridley I'd rather have, definitely. But would you rather have Hopkins or the Los Angeles Chargers receivers?
You know, Hopkins,
again, they're on a
Keenan
bye,
Allen,
so.
Hopkins versus Keenan Allen is a really interesting conversation, man. Really,
I would also
really
buy low on Keenan Allen, by the way.
I would too, and I think that you could do that. You could go out and get rid of Hopkins and maybe get Keenan Allen and plus. Like, if you're hurting at tight end, could you get Keenan Allen and, say, Ricky Seals-Jones or somebody like that? Like, I think it's definitively possible. Or could you... there's a lot of different ways to go with that. I think it's even possible that you can get Keenan Allen and, say, Miles Sanders in a trade if you're going to give up Hopkins and somebody else, like another lower-end RB
Hopkins,
or something.
Hopkins and Zach Moss for Keenan Allen and Miles Sanders.
I think it's definitively possible, man, because Keenan Allen, the volume is going to come back. He's getting the volume, okay? That's what we want. Legit him and Mike Williams, it's 1A, 1B every single week. Mike Williams has been balling out, and he has been the guy who's been garnering all the production. He's banged up, and I know he played, but when your knee is swelling,
he also
that's not a good thing.
Again, they were getting destroyed in that game. He sat like the entire fourth quarter, and again, they have a bye week, so it's probably he'll be fine. But like, yeah, it's back to back weeks where he's suffered injuries in that. In
I
games.
Mean, maybe he'll be fine, dude. I don't know. A lot of times you deal with like that when they talk about swelling and things of that nature. It's not all the time.
I was surprised they didn't just sit him because they had the bye week
coming up. I was surprised too, man. I was surprised he even played. I didn't see him playing. I thought he was doubtful to even suit up. But this is all credence that way you should be going out and putting out offers for Keenan Allen. And if you have Hopkins, you have some of these other players we talked about, you need to be trading away. So that kind of leads us into our last player, Adam. Who is the other guy that you're like, okay, bye-bye? And he's getting a ton of volume. Maybe you can go make this move for somebody like Keenan Allen for this player you're going to mention here.
Yeah, Courtland Sutton's been really good the last couple weeks. And he's been, like you said, he's been getting the volume. He still leads the NFL in air yards. He's top 5 in percentage of teams' air yards. And he's been great. And he's a talented player. But Jerry Jeudy's going to be back next week. You know, they play Thursday night. I'd be stunned if he played in this game, but probably back in week 8. And Sutton is going to be a lot more boomer bust than he's been. And he's still been like, he's had 2 back-to-back boom games. He had the huge game against Jacksonville, but then there's been a couple really, really bad games. And this is still a Denver team that wants to run the football and play good defense. And like, I'm not saying you have to like go stop what you're doing and trade Sutton, but his value will not be higher than it is right now. And yeah, their schedule after their bye week is really good. They have some really good matchups. They have a couple good ones, but then they face the Chargers twice, who have been awesome against wide receivers. Mm-hmm. The Raiders have actually been really good against receivers this year. So it's like they don't have. You know, I know Sutton just went off against him, but let's be honest,
he did. But the other part about that is that he Well, the other part about that is he was lining up, and I wrote this up for the DFS game by game. He ran 40-ish percent of his routes against Amik Robertson on the other side, who's like 5'8", 180, and you could easily moss him. Mm-hmm. So
and then
that's part
again,
of it.
Again, that's with no Judy. And Judy, in his one game this year, was dominating the targets. So,
well, you talk about that, too, is like, I mean, it's the inverse correlation of DeAndre Hopkins, right? Like, if Judy comes back and Courtland Sutton's air yard share, target share, those things kind of come more back to earth instead of, you know, does he get 25%? Now it's bumped down to 19. Judy's going to command targets when he's healthy, man. Noah Fant's commanding targets in this office. Tim Patrick is still a good player. You know, all of these things can be true. And so, as high as Denver's passing rates, and I've been writing this up on a weekly basis, like as high as Denver's passing rates are, their pace is terrible. And it's going to cap the volume of this offense on a weekly basis. So if you're looking at capped volume, it's a cap ceiling. Maybe Teddy gets to like 31, maybe 32 pass attempts on a weekly basis. If that's the case, then you're going to see the volume drop for Courtland Sutton because it's not as limited of a target tree anymore when Judy comes back.
Yeah, so again, if you can like package Sutton in a player and get Keenan Allen or somebody that we talked about that's underwhelming, like I would definitely do that because like his value will not be higher. Maybe he goes off again on Thursday because the Browns have struggled against number one receivers and Judy still won't be back and the Browns offense probably won't be able to sustain drives, so Denver's offense will have plenty of possessions. Might have another really good game, but after that, it's time to at least field some offers.
Yeah, I think right now, before Judy comes back, is the time that some of these things you're also trying to get out in front of. Like maybe you're like people could say you're jumping the gun, but the other side of this is that after like a week or two from now, you'll be like, oh man, I'm glad I really made that offer. Like it hurt at the time, it didn't feel good, and there was risk involved in it. But that's how you get out in front of your league mates. That's how you capitalize on these values. That's how you look at these things in more of just not just a week-to-week basis, but looking at these in stretches, 2 to 4 games. That's how you get ahead of the curve, man. And if you're able to do that, that's how you win your leagues. All right, everyone, we're going to get out of here. Adam is going to be back tomorrow. Again, the great John Daigle from NBC Sports Edge is going to stop by and go through the game-by-game DFS episode. Adam is going to be back as well on Friday to run you through more things to help you get ready for Week 7 to stack those wins. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.